Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Corporate Worship Matters, Episode 4. Today we're taking a second bite at the topic of trends in corporate worship and how we assess them and work out what's useful and helpful for our congregation. So we looked at this in Part 1, Find the Trends, a few weeks ago. So if you didn't see that or hear that, then go back to that one because I think you'll find that useful background to what we're going to talk about today. There we talked about discovering the trends in worship music, particularly in our own congregation. I wonder if you did the survey I suggested. If you haven't, why not do that? If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go back to the previous episode. But doing a survey of your members might be very useful in terms of thinking about the trends that are around us. But today we're talking about, well, having surfaced the trends, how do we work out whether they're useful or not, whether they're spiritual or not, whether they're godly or not? So today, in episode 4, we're looking at test the trends. Because we want to make sure that, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way, and of course in a way that honours God. There are always trends in every part of life. Have you seen fidget spinners? They're the latest trendy toy for children. Well, and I know some adults who use them as well. Manufacturers and marketers will find a new way to part parents with their money when that particular trend has run its course. So there are trends everywhere. Now, many worship trends are neutral. They're neither good nor bad in themselves, but they can be more or less helpful to a particular congregation. Now, if we know our local trends, how do we assess whether they are good or bad, whether they should be opposed or embraced? Are they already influencing your congregation? And if so, what to do about it if you feel like they are particularly useful or they're particularly unhelpful? So to examine any trend, I suggest that you apply these three filters I shall give you now and ask three questions to go along with them. So, filter number one, doctrine filter. In other words, does this trend offend any biblical principle or command? Not does it just seem like it does, but really does it? Does it offend it? Does it break some biblical principle? Does it break some biblical command or principle? So that's the first thing, the doctrine filter. Having applied the doctrine filter, which is, I think, of course, the one we should do first, the second is to apply the distraction filter. In other words, does this practice, does this trend distract people from God? When it's employed in our worship, corporate worship setting, does it distract people from God? Does it put the focus more on the worship leadership team, on the people in the room, on the members, on anybody who's singing or speaking? Does it distract people from God? So doctrine filter first, distraction filter second, and third, direction filter. In other words, does this trend direct people to God or not? Does it direct them to something else, to the performance, to the style, to themselves? Or does it direct people, ultimately, to God? So three filters and three questions. Doctrine filter, distraction filter, direction filter. Does it offend any biblical principle or command? Does it distract people from God? Does it direct people to God? Now, in my own part of the world, I've observed a number of trends in churches around me. Some have been introduced to our congregations, the ones that I know of anyway, in whole or part. These include things like, and this is not an exhaustive list, just for example's sake. For example, having no main song leader. We're used to in our fellowships having someone stand in the middle of the stage with a lectern of some kind, a music stand, and leading, directing the singing of the congregation as well as the rest of the worship team. But instead, I've seen in many places we have a new trend, that of not having a main song leader. A group of singers, a band, standing perhaps off to one side, perhaps both sides of a staging area. And I'm not suggesting, again, as I share these, that these are all bad or good as such, but I've seen that as a particular trend. A second trend I've noticed is the idea of quietening a congregation before the singing begins at the beginning of a service or a section of the service. So shushing everybody, quietening people with some words, asking people to be quiet before singing begins. That's something I've seen in a few places. Thirdly, another trend I've observed is emphasizing one style over against others in the style of worship music. For example, having all hymns, having all gospel songs or gospel style songs, having all chorusy songs, having all songs of a particular genre or style, Hillsong or hymnal style or others. So emphasizing one style over against another. These are just three of many trends that are in our in congregations around us and in worship around us. Are they good? Are they bad? Are they helpful? Are they not? Well, of course, it's all going to depend. It will depend on whether they pass the three filters we've talked about earlier, and also whether they help people connect with God's presence. So what do we do when it depends? It's difficult, isn't it, to work through the issues. I believe there are three steps that should clarify whether we should be good to adopt a particular trend or not, a particular practice or not. So here are the three steps. Number one, pray for insight. Pray for insight. Before you go introducing something or before you go discussing it with other people, spend some time yourself in prayer. If you are a leader of worship, of corporate worship, then pray for insight. Pray for insight, in particular for self-insight, that you wouldn't be swayed by your own prejudices or preferences. We do all have our own ideas of, or at least our own feelings as to what works best for us. But we need to remember that we're servants of God and of our congregation, not of our own preferences. So first of all, pray for insight. Secondly, discuss the trend. Discuss it with your worship team, the rest of your team. They'll have their own ideas. They'll have their own assessment of this. You may end up doing what they think or not, but at least discuss it. Because if you introduce a trend without discussing it, a new idea without discussing it with your worship team, and it's significant, then it'll be difficult to maintain a sense of oneness in that team. So discuss the trend with your worship team. And then thirdly, I think there's a third step, which is to discuss this trend with your church leadership team. I read a survey a few years ago that suggested that the most significant cause of conflict in churches is that between the main minister and the main worship leader. Forget all the other things that people have arguments about or have tension over. It seems that the greatest area of tension is between the leading minister of a congregation and the leader of the worship team. Well, I don't know if that's true in all congregations, and I don't know if it's true where you are, but I do know that the devil would like to separate these two people. And so bringing new ideas to the church leadership team, when they're significant, would seem to me a wise move. If we can keep oneness, that John 17 oneness between the church leadership team and the church worship leadership team, it'll be a wonderful thing for God. I believe if you do these three steps of praying for insight and discussing the trend with your worship team and then with the church leadership team, it's my guess you'll come to a consensus. Whether it's what you want or not, I suggest there will be a consensus. And now it's unlikely that any particular trend will lead everybody astray spiritually, but we shouldn't adopt something just because it's trendy or just because we personally like it. Everything needs to be examined carefully first in case it distracts worshippers from their focus on God. I'm not going to give you a definitive position on any particular trend, and my opinions change from time to time depending on the context. But I am proposing that worship trends must be assessed in our local context. Let's think it through and pray it through. So, what do you think of this? What trends have you observed where you are in your congregation, in other congregations near you, in the general Christian worship world? Have you adopted any particular trends and do you find them helpful? Or have you tried some that you found actually are not so helpful and then you stopped using them? I'd like to know, and I'm sure everybody else would that listens to, reads to, and hears these broadcasts, these recordings, because this is how we learn. We learn from one another. We learn best when we learn in community. So please share your ideas and your comments. Thanks very much. Until the next time, I hope you have wonderful times of corporate worship this week, wherever you gather with other Christians. Take care and God bless.